The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Whew, boy, great conversation there with Ken Block. Not necessarily what I wanted to agree or hear, but, you know, I want to talk to people that have dug into data here, too. Melissa is here. Melissa, you wanted to weigh in. I didn't have time to take calls on that interview, but I'm going to have Ken back at another time. And what would you have wanted to ask that we didn't ask, and or what was your overall impression? What say you?
Well, I just wanted his take on the Dinesh D'Souza movie where they show all of the people driving with the, or pulling up with the bikes and the gloves and dumping the ballots.
All the 20,000 mules, right?
Yeah, it's really hard to see that and then think that that was, they've got the evidence of the people dumping the ballots in and then those being so close to those organizations that were collecting the ballots. And I just, you know, for those of us, you know, to be able to say in our hearts that there was no election fraud, I haven't heard anybody try to dispute that. And of course, if you go on Snopes or you try to do the research on it, you know, they're going to say that, you know, the whole thing was debunked.
Yeah, it's all shut down. Now, I would agree with you on that. And once again, he was going on data that you could actually take into court. Right. You know, and that's a different standard, I think, than what he was looking at. But the 20,000 mules essentially exposes the fraud, which I think is inherent in legalized vote harvesting, which is what you're really talking about. Right. That's just
right.
Legalized vote harvesting. And that's permitted. That's permitted in some of these states right now. In fact, essentially, Oregon is legalized vote harvesting and made it very easy. And of course, very loosey-goosey on this. So I would agree, there's a lot of room. There is a lot of room for hinky in our current system. Now, the problem, though, is can you prove that hinky that rose to the level of breaking the law? And that's probably tough to do right after an election, a relatively heated election. I'm kind of
with it's really hard, too, when it costs so much money to challenge it. You know that.
And I didn't have time to talk with him because he talked about them charging $40,000 to get the Alabama voting records. Right. You know, with the data. Remember
right.
When he talked about that. And then you look at Oregon, in which Jackson County was going to charge State Senator Linthicum and State Senator Kim Thatcher and the other people wanting to look at the ballots down here, close to $1 million. Because every ballot would then have to be re-examined by hand, by officials, you know, before this. And then to make sure that there's no voter identifiable information on it. And so, my gosh, you know, how do you ever audit an election with those kind of rules?
Well,
and
that's that one that they can, Linthicum can take and then file a suit and then probably eventually get up to the Supreme Court.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Melissa. It may have been dismissed. In fact, I'm going to have him on the show tomorrow, and I'll ask him for an update on that. It may have gone nowhere at this point because you're talking about an Oregon court ruling on Oregon rules from the Oregon Secretary of State. And where do you think the bias might fall?
Right. I agree.
All right. Thanks, Melissa. Let me go to Steve. Hello, Steve. Welcome.
Good morning, Bill.
Morning, Steve.
I just have some questions nobody's been able to answer for me about, you know, they always say that there was no evidence of widespread voter fraud, but they didn't do widespread voter fraud. Their voter fraud was surgical in its precision. It was in blue counties in swing states where they sent the observers home, kept the count going. When the observers left, Trump was in the lead. When the observers mm-hmm. came back the next day, Biden was in the lead. In Detroit, which wasn't a swing state, they actually boarded up the windows so nobody could look in. And nothing has happened about any of this, and that's observable fraud when you board up the windows.
Yeah, certainly, if not fraud, certainly evidence of if we don't want you watching us, which is what happened in Detroit, and that's famous. I even shared that photo again the other day. And Governor Whitmer just signed a law that made it very difficult to challenge voting fraud in the state of Michigan. And I would agree with you. This is what we're talking about. It's not widespread voting fraud. It is the surgical. And now, apparently Ken Block was not involved in investigating the places that you were talking about, you know, just in that.
It was five counties that decided the election, five counties. And in every single one of those counties, they stopped the count and then started it again in the middle of the night.
Yeah. I appreciate
that.
That's what drives you nuts. That's what drives me nuts too. There's enough smelliness, you know, to go around in here, and none of that or very little of that has been fixed for this time around. And don't think
and
that
nobody explained it.
Try it. All right, Steve, I'm with you on that, and that's why Ken may be right, and Ken may be missing a bigger picture in other places too.
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
Oh, Vivian.
Hi. Did you have a comment?
I think I'm with your last caller there. I stayed up all night and watched the 2020 election, and I saw them pull out big cases out from underneath tables and count them three times, stacks and stacks and stacks, and that's when the chart that Dennis D'Souza has spiked up with votes for Biden. Mm-hmm. And I just can't swallow that there was no fraud in that election.
Oh, I don't think anyone, not even Ken Block, saying that there's no fraud. The claim, though, is that is there provable fraud? And is there, I mean, the thing is, though, we know what we saw that night. We know that, okay?
Yeah.
Common sense says that's what you saw. Can you legally prove it? That's a much higher bar.
I don't know how they can't prove it if they saw it on TV. I mean, it was recorded.
Yeah.
And the people even forgot the cameras are rolling. And then I was watching Fox News, and in Arizona, Brett Baer, less than 1% of precincts had been in and counted. And they declared the state for Biden. And I'm thinking, and we were all sitting down at the headquarters in Grants Pass, watching that on television, and we all went, what? You know, I mean, that was just outrageous.
There is another aspect of this, though. Remember how we always talk about the vote has to be big enough to overcome some of the hinky, right? You know, that talk. I will dare say that Trump did lose some Republicans' support in 2020. The never-Trumper types. They were tired of the...
Not enough to lose the actual election.
I'm not convinced of that. Well, if it was a totally honest count in those blue states, maybe it would have been differently. But he did leak some support that year.
And well, he may have leaked some, but I don't think
he did. He didn't have support that he could afford to leak in the current system at that year. Now, this year could be a very different story, okay? This year. I think there's a bit of remorse of having turned the country over to the blue hordes. Maybe people will figure this out. What do you think?
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I appreciate your call, and thanks for making it, too.
Stay updated on recreational opportunities all over our region with the Outdoor Report.
Overnight low, and then a gradual cooling trend begins tomorrow. By the start of next week, we're already in the low 90s.
14 after 8, Captain Bill Simpson's going to join me here in a few minutes, and we're going to go down the rabbit hole, another rabbit hole, since it is Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Why the San Francisco Chronicle would come out with an article saying that one of the reasons that there's so many problems over at the dam removal there on the Klamath is all those wild horses are causing trouble. It's nonsensical. It's just nonsense to anybody that even kind of understands a little bit about what has been going on around here. But we'll talk with him about that. All right. Okay, looking at the price of gold, still looking pretty healthy, $2,422. It looks like $2,400 is the new $2,300, which used to be the new $2,200, which used to be the new $2,100, which used to be the $2,000. Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers in Ashland and Grants Pass, longtime sponsor. It's not too late to get some peace and security and actually the peace of mind. Yeah, you have to have your preparedness items too, but also prepare to preserve some wealth. Because nobody knows where this system is going here over the next few years. Yeah, you hope that there's a good election and that some common sense is brought to it. But a lot of the problems with the currency in the markets are kind of baked into our cake right now. And so having some of your wealth preserved and tucked away as that just in case is a real wise thing to do. So talk to Mark and Andrea and the rest of the crew. They're good people. And they've been one of my long-term sponsors, and I hope you support them too. And I love their ad. A lot of people are talking about their new ad with the sing-along here. So I'm not going to sing-along. I'm not going to do the sing. But I'll just try to speak to your need for some security, okay? Portfolio diversification and wealth preservation. Talk to Jay Austin today. 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland. Just drop by 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. Call 482-3715 for your appointment. Better yet, just show up, okay? JayAustinBrokers.com and FortuneReserve.com.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority in post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Artisan Bakery Cafe, your go-to for all things delicious. Now serving amazing summer specials. Try their turtle brownie, loaded with caramel and pecans, blueberry cream cheese coffee cake, chocolate hazelnut croissant, lavender cupcakes filled with Bavarian cream.
To post your job for free, terms and conditions apply. That's linkedin.com/Kim.
Hear KMED in Grants Pass on 105.9 K290 AF Rogue River in South Jackson County on 106.7 K294 AS Ashland.
Captain William E. Simpson, ethologist, nature guy, wild horse lover. Of course, Wild Horse Fire Brigade, we know him from. And, of course, overall great guy out there in Northern Oregon. And they've got Northern California, rather. Sorry, I was relocating you there, Captain. Welcome back. Good to have you on.
Good morning, Bill.
Hey, wanted to bring you on here because there has been a bit of a controversy in which Wild Horse is being thrown under the bus by the San Francisco Chronicle for blame or saying that Wild Horses are to blame for some of the problems on the Klamath Dam removal site. And that just sounds like nonsense to me, just with common sense. But I know that you're actually involved in, and you've been really hot and bothered about this story, too. So could you set the table with what is happening here?
Right. Yeah. So KRRC and RES, things are not going according to plan. And even though they keep saying it, they're kind of like if you go to the federal prison and you ask these prisoners if they committed the crime, they go, oh, no, I didn't do that.
Right.
You know, these guys just keep saying it's going according to plan. But we can go down a long list of things. And the article is focused primarily on the sediment and them attempting to plant the polluted sediments to keep it in place. Now,
oh, this is the seeding that we have talked about before, correct?
Right. So, yeah, so we know that the original plan, which is well documented, they've got cartoons and graphics about how they're going to do it. They're going to dewater the dams or, you know, drain the dams over a period of a couple of months. And the reason they were going to do that, which was there was some logic to it, of course, which is when you go slow and let it out slow, the sediment stays put. But when you pull the plug, there's a lot of torrent, and the bottom of the lakes and, you know, the canyons that they're in got scoured. And
is there any reason, was there ever any reason given why they just popped the cork and just decided to just flood when it came to dewatering the dam rather than just letting the dam's water out slowly? Have they ever explained that? Because the plan was to do it slowly, and then they changed. What happened?
Well, there's no rock-solid science about what happened there, but there is a lot of speculation. And one of the theories that makes a lot of sense is that when you look at the timeline, they pulled the plug on January 23rd, 2024, earlier this year, mm-hmm. January 23rd. Well, interestingly, it turns out that the United States Geologic Survey had this massive toxicology sediment water sampling report coming out on January 31st, just a week later. And, of course, they knew about it. They knew this report was coming out. And I suspect that they felt that there would be a risk that the dam removal would be stopped until people had time to digest that report.
Oh.
And of course, with all the toxins that we know are in the sediment and so forth, people would kind of put it together and say, hold it. Do we really want to do this?
You know? Where even people who are supporting the dam removal, like, South County, Jackson County, you know, big-time greenie types would be thinking twice about it even, right?
Well, yeah, it would give people cause for concern, and with good reason, because according to the CDM Smith study, there are a lot of different kinds of dangerous toxins. They're all bioaccumulative, and that's the key phrase, bioaccumulation, because The toxins that are in the sediment and then went down the river are the kind that build up over time and can make you very sick. You don't have to have a critical dose immediately. In other words, these EPA levels, oh, it's just above or just below, Bill, you know.
Yeah, there's a little bit of boron here, a little bit of boron here, a little bit of boron here, but, you know, you accumulate it over time, and then maybe you get a problem, right? That sort of thing.
What's in there, just so people are clear, is there's dioxin, PCB, lead, arsenic, cadmium, chromium. I mean,
and a lot of this due to the volcanic soils where this sediment came from, too. Fair enough, right? Honestly. You know, the soils we have around here, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, it comes down out of the mountains. But the important point is that when you have a lake, or in the case of a DEQ settling pond, these things settle out and they get highly concentrated.
Oh.
Okay? And then once they're highly concentrated in a lake bottom sediment or in a DEQ settling pond, which is exactly why they have when you have a confluent coming off a mining operation, they make you have a settling pond because it's very effective at concentrating the heavy metal, and it keeps it from going into the watershed. Well, that's exactly what these lakes did. They concentrated in Copco 1 for over 100 years, concentrated heavy metals in the bottom of that lake. And same thing with, to the lesser extent, Iron Gate Lake, because it was only there for 60 years. But nevertheless, 60 years of concentration, that's a lot. But here's the point. Okay, so they knew that report was coming out, and I suspect it's my belief that they were worried, and they should have been, because if people read that, they go, "Well, hold it, you know, I mean, we need to think this through."
And so, I guess just to jump ahead, let's blow it while we can. In other words, right?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. So that happened, and of course, the what was the outcome of going off plan? See, they went off plan. That whole thing, that whole paradigm about here's what we're going to do, here's how we're going to, that's part of their EIS and all that other stuff, right? That was approved. That plan was approved. Now, they went off plan. They dewatered the dams in a matter of days, not months. And then, of course, because of that, according to Mark Bransom's own lips, 5 to 7 million cubic yards of sediment, polluted sediment, went down the river. And the result of that was thousands of dead native fish, tens of thousands of dead fish, millions of organisms died, even the invertebrates died, the crawdads, the native fish. And he said, we didn't kill any native species animals. Of course he did. He killed millions of native. In fact, when it comes down to the invertebrates that live in that river, billions of life forms were killed. Billions, with a B. So, and those are the life forms that are the foundational food source for that entire ecosystem.
Whether it's the wildlife, whether it's the fish, whether it's all part of that circle of life there. Okay.
Right. So it's going to take a long, long, long time to build. When you kill it at that level, down to the crawdads, you know, that foundational food source is gone. Everything ate the crawdads. The raccoons, the salmon, the steelhead, the birds, you name it. Everybody was eating them crawdads, and they're gone. They're dead. There's not even snails in the river right now.
Really?
That's how bad it is. Yeah. We have friends that irrigate, and they have to go down on their intakes for their irrigation and clean the algae and the snails off the pipes all the time. And there's several people that told me, you know, this is the first time in 40 years there's not one snail on the screen.
Well, what that shows is that the water is so clean, it doesn't even support the snails anymore here, Captain Bill. Yikes.
I know. So anyway, so now getting to the planting of the sediment, the whole concept there is to stabilize it and keep it in place, which, you know, it's not going to happen. I mean, the first flood that we have, that stuff is, you know, we saw what 5 to 7 million cubic yards did. Imagine there's about two-thirds of it left. So about 15 million cubic yards. If most of that goes down, you can imagine what will happen the next time around. So they're trying to plant it with this, you know, it's one of these things that listens good, but if you really think about it, it's not going to work. You know, it's just like this dry hydrant that won't suck water. So anyway,
you have done a great job, I have to say, Bill, of pointing out every screw-up that's been going on there, and I know it's getting really downplayed and censored, oddly enough. You know, in the search engines, it's like, you know, you go do a search for Klamath Dam, and all the happy news comes up. It just astounds me.
Yeah.
It just astounds me how this has been played.
They've probably spent millions on Google SEO search and stuff, and what it is it's not a true censorship where stuff was erased. What they did is they prioritized their stuff with money, with Google. They pay Google money, and Google makes their stuff come way to the top, and everybody else goes way to the bottom. Okay, that's how they do that. And so, but anyway, getting back to this planting of the sediment, well, according to Jim Smith, right off the get-go, they need to defense that. And in 2023, I talked to Dave Kaufman at RES. He's the head honcho here. And he said, oh, yeah, we're going to fence it. We're going to provide alternative water to keep all the wildlife out of the mud.
But they didn't fence it. They didn't fence that area.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. And the key thing is the key point, it was supposed to be fenced in the summer of 2023, last year, before the winter of death, before all those poor animals got in there and died in that mud. So it's supposed to have been fenced last year with a legal statutory fence for open range in Siskiyou County. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. And then we saw they went off plan. That was in their EIS, too. They went off plan, didn't do it. And what happened? Just what we know of, dozens of deer and other animals died a horrible death in that mud.
Is this what the San Francisco Chronicle jumped on when they're claiming that, oh, wild horse problems are causing the issues here at this dam removal? Rather than the fact that they didn't fence and that KRRC didn't do what it promised it would do to remove the dams.
Right. Well, and we're going down the list of what happened because they didn't went off plan on that. Another departure from the approved plan. So, and their wildlife takings permit, they're allowed to kill so many eagles, so many deer, so many fish, warm water fish. They're allowed to do that. But when you read the regulations and the conditions of that permit they got to, for what they call that as a taking. If you or I go out there and shoot an eagle, we go to prison.
Sure.
See, but they got a special permit that allowed them to kill so many eagles by accident.
Yeah. It's kind of like when a gangrene windmill chops up an eagle. Well, that's okay if you have the permit to an extent,
yeah,
right?
But, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't want to go off in the weeds here.
I know.
Pretty straightforward.
But it's the same kind of thing. Same kind of thing.
Well, yes and no. Their permit allows a certain, unavoidable loss of wildlife. But the permit says, the regulation says that they have to take care to minimize the loss. They don't get to just recklessly allow it. They have to take care to minimize the loss.
And now, when you say to minimize, so would that imply the fact that KRRC has gone off plan and RES in the removal of this dam is, in essence, violating the fact that you're supposed to minimize when you go off the plan, it's not going to help.
Well, yeah, especially with regard to wildlife. The fence, if they would have put up the fence in time, we wouldn't have lost all those deer. There's a good argument that a lot of wildlife would have been saved, and that's what their permit expected. They didn't do it. So technically they have a violation there, okay? Then now fast forward to now, okay? Now the fence is still not up. They got all this stuff they planted, and oh, by the way, the planting is a failure. I mean, when you look at it, and I'm going to be generous here, they might have 30% coverage. The rest of it is bare because nothing will grow in this sediment, and it's bare. There's spots that are really green, but that's what they take pictures of, these few spots where it's really green, like at Jenny Creek and right down by the dam, there's a couple of banks of green, but by and large, when you look at the whole thing, they got about 30% coverage. Well, okay, so they were supposed to fence it off to keep things from going down there and eating it, the deer, the elk, and including the horses. They knew the horses have been here for centuries, and they knew about that. They were supposed to fence it off last year. They didn't, okay? So on top of the fact that they're looking at this failure rate of this planting, and they're looking for scapegoats. They've had so many failures because they went off plan, they're desperate to come up with excuses for this now. Okay.
So how do wild horses end up being the excuse? What's the claim?
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you what Jim Smith said. Aerial distribution of seeds has a poor germination rate. So we know that that's right off the bat. The U.S. Forest Service was going to try to use aerial distribution of seeds. They tested it. They decided not to do it because it wasn't good. The soils are 79% clay and they're alkaline. Okay, that's another problem. Then we have a drought going on here. The recent long hot days of 100 to 115 degree weather has cooked anything that was laying out there. You got herbivory by birds, rabbits, deer, elk, and we have a heavy grasshopper infestation right now. And then finally,
it's the biblical plague, Captain Bill. You got a plague there. All right.
Yeah, and then let me finish here. This is the most important part, Bill. Because they did not provide alternative water for the wildlife and the horses, the livestock, because they didn't do that, okay, the only water sources are down in the footprint of the lake now, which are the creeks and Klamath River. So, of course, the wildlife has to go down into the sediment to get a drink of water. And, you know, so they've gone off plan, and there's adverse results from going off plan. And now, in this particular instance, they're trying to scapegoat the horses for the failure of the planting, which is just a bunch of bull. And then they're even trying to, you know, I've got a letter from the county that says we own the horses, right? They recognize our ownership of this herd. I mean, I've been putting thousands and thousands of dollars into taking care of these horses for the last decade. And last year we spent $55,000 on the herd. We're spending a lot of money. We take good care of these horses because they're a cultural heritage herd. They've been here for centuries. And they deserve that kind of care and attention. They're part of our history.
So, the bottom line, though, is that the San Francisco Chronicle claimed this is a red herring or a red horse, if you want to call it that.
It's just a big distraction to take people away from the complete failure that this is. You know, Mark Branson wants to walk away with an A on his report card on this show here. But this is, you know, as you said before, this is an excrement show. I mean, this is terrible what's going on up here, and they're using money to buy SEO priority for their glowing report bullshit. I mean, excuse the term there, but that's exactly what it is. It's bullshit. You know, this whole thing is just ridiculous. You know, they have these glowing reports that get SEO'd right to the top. The reality is this is just a big mess here, and they've ruined the Klamath River. They've ruined it. And I just put up a video. I was down there yesterday looking at the fire hydrant, the dry hydrant. You know, you look at the thing, it's not going to suck water. If we have a fire, the tender's going to show up. They're not going to be able to supply the engine. Somebody's going to, you know, if we have a fire, I mean, that's going to be a big lawsuit. If we have a fire and they can't draw water, that's going to be a lawsuit.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, why don't you hold that thought here? Let me break for some quick news here, and we'll be right back. Let's continue this. And if somebody has some questions they'd like to ask you about this while you're here, you might go hang on for another segment.
Yeah, I'll stay on.
All right. If you wanted to talk with Bill Simpson about this and ask some questions about what he's observing there and the amazing two-step blame somebody else for the problems with the dam removal issues, 770-5633. You're on the Bill Myers Show.
This is Insurance Agent A.
Hey.
He sells for one company only.
It's the absolute best.
To my right, an exemplary insurance agent, an independent, which means...
I can help you research multiple insurance plans, giving you a much better look at who actually has the better coverage.
Well, that's not fair.
That's not what our customers say.
Well, I can't compete with that.
Home, auto, health, life. Sky Park Insurance is your local independent agency that shops for the best coverage for less. Steve makes insurance easy.
One of each, Forte VIN 807033, MSRP 21645, Sol VIN 920929, MSRP 21740, 3699, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 9224.
The summer of savings is here with new Kias from $139 a month at Kia Medford. Now is the best time to get into a new Kia. Shop our huge selection and save. Get a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS. For a new 2024 Kia Soul LX, just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find the Kia you really want, like new Fortes or Souls, just $139 a month. Don't miss the summer of savings going on right now at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Every carpenter wants to teach his son how to do carpentry, but daughters can build things too. So, when it comes to carpentry, tools, lumber, and building materials, remember that making the right choice is very important. And the right choice for lumber and other building materials is Hughes Lumber. At Hughes Lumber, they offer the best lumber at the best prices to all builders. Hughes Lumber, serving everyone on Crater Lake Highway.
News is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Wednesday night, the city of Grants Pass unanimously adopted a new homeless camping ordinance, while the city's former ordinances were repealed or amended. Now the homeless will be able to temporarily camp at the new wastewater treatment plant. Also on the corner of the Riverside Park property and two other parcels, each site will have fencing and restrooms. When marijuana was legalized in Oregon, citizens were assured it would take the black market and cartels out of the state. It's actually made it worse. An example, the 39,000 illegal marijuana plants just found off Highway 234 in Central Point. Jackson County deputies detained seven people on the property. The Adjutant General of the Oregon National Guard and other senior leaders visited Guard members deployed on the fire lines in Harney County and also near Cottage Grove Wednesday. About 90 Guard members were deployed last week, forming four hand crews, each with 22 firefighters and additional support staff. I'm Bill London, KMED News.
American Rancher Garage, United in Service.
American Rancher Garage services most vehicles and offers state-of-the-art amenities, affordable pricing, and prompt service you can trust. If you're looking for a reliable, full-service automotive repair shop that provides old-fashioned service to keep you and your busy life moving, you've found it right here, just across the street from Elmer's on Biddle. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRancher.com. 541-499-6673. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
Drake's Paint and Supply, your only locally owned paint store, is now open in South Medford. The South Medford store offers the same top quality Benjamin Moore paint and stain and all the equipment and supplies the North Medford and Grants Pass stores offer, with the legacy of service and value Drake's is known for. Drake's Paint, your local Benjamin Moore dealer, with three Rogue Valley locations to serve you in North Medford on North Pacific Highway, Grants Pass in the Parkway Village, and now in South Medford between Central and Riverside, just north of where the two combine.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Got something on your mind? Give a shout at 541-770-5633. 770-KMED.
20 before 9, I'm back with Captain William E. Simpson, Wild Horse Fire Brigade, who is, of course, countering the narrative, the amazing narrative that has been spun out there that Wild Horse is to blame for problems down at the Klamath Dam. It just astounds me that we even have to talk about this, Bill, but talk about it we will. Dave had a question, though, for you. And if anybody else has a question for Captain Bill, 770-5633. Dave, you wanted to talk about something else that you've been observing down at Dam Removal Central. What say you, sir?
Yeah, they've been hauling in 40-yard dump truck loads of stumps and logs. And I talked to you, Captain Bill, at the store the other day, and you said they were doing it for looks or to make it look natural. But the first flood they have, those will all float down the river.
Did they really do that, Bill, from what you can understand or how
yeah,
it was
they
described?
Hey, Dave. Yeah, so here's what happened. They brought up, so far I think there's probably 500 big trees that are died somewhere. These are probably 100, 200 foot long trees with the root ball on them, and they've trucked them in. These things are huge, and they set up a helicopter base at Camp Creek where they're going to have a big helicrane. And here's the thing: they're going to be flying low to place those logs. We're talking 500 probable trips with this big helicopter, and we saw the massive dust cloud that went up when the Cal Fire helicopter flew over. He made an inadvertent turn off the center part of the river over the sediment bed, and a great big cloud of clay polluted dust went up in the sky, and it went over Iron Gate Estates and the homes there. Now, that clay is toxic, but then there's also all the other crap in there that's in that dust, and you can imagine, I have a picture of this. And just one turn, the helicopter just turned off the river because he wasn't getting water, and he didn't realize this was going to happen to him. The pilot went right into this black or this huge cloud of sediment that his downwash caused. It just came way up. I mean, this stuff goes up like talcum powder. It's ridiculous. And boy, that guy, he just flew straight out of there and took off. He left because it was going everywhere in the chopper. And so now these guys, they're not thinking like they always do. I mean, this whole project is like the Three Stooges and, you know, like the fire hydrant, you know, the dry hydrants, all this stuff. They're going to be making hundreds of helicopter runs over the sediment, right over the sediment, because the stream beds where they're going to drop these trees in, these dead trees, is right over the sediment bed. So this sediment dust is going to be airborne in a very big way, and it's toxic. And we're going to have, I mean, the county needs to get on the phone to CARB, California Air Resource Board, because this is going to be a major, major health impact for people up here. And
now, is there a way that that evidence can be gathered to that, though, that said that the cloud, the clouds of sediment would be unhealthy for humans and wildlife in the area? Is there a way to do that?
It's well-known science. We know, number one, that, I mean, you don't have to use clay. Is the worst because it's the smallest sediment. You know,
yeah,
you got clay.
Is that a PM2.5 or is that smaller, or PM2.5 or smaller? I don't know. So
yeah, some of these particles are down in the range of nanoparticles.
Oh, great.
I mean, you know, yeah, it's microscopic. You know, clay is the smallest. The next thing is silt. Now, you've heard of silicosis. That's regular dust, and that's big stuff compared to clay. Silicosis will kill you. I mean, people that operate equipment and get that dust in their lungs, you know, you get a serious problem with your lungs. This clay is even finer, so it goes deeper into your lung. No, this is well-known stuff. And because of all the toxins that have been accumulated and concentrated in that sediment dust, the C.D.M. Smith study bragged about how, oh, because they were going to send the silt down the river, they were bragging in their study, the 2011 study, that, oh, it's really great that this is conical clay, because the conical clay hangs on to the toxins, you know, the chrome and the arsenic and the lead, and it hangs on to it, so it's not bioavailable to go down to the river because the clay's got a hold of it. Well, the same thing happens when it comes airborne. Now you've got, not only do you have a clay particle, but then you've got a toxin associated to it, and that's going to go deep into your lungs, and they're going to be making hundreds, not one pass like the Cal Fire helicopter did, which created a massive cloud. I got a picture of it. It's posted. Okay.
Is that on Siskiyou.news where you have that?
Yep.
Okay.
Siskiyou.news. One pass, huge cloud. Okay. They're talking hundreds of passes over the sediment beds. Hundreds.
Interesting. Hey, Bill, let's grab another call here for you, too. I appreciate people checking in, wanting to ask a question. Hi, good morning. Who's this? You're with Captain Bill.
Hey, Jane.
Hi, Jane. What question did you want to ask Bill?
Well, I'd like to have him ask the paper in New York, or wherever it came from, California.
San Francisco, yeah.
Do they have pictures of the horses walking on two legs with boots? Because I think something as stupid as they are, I deserve something stupid back.
Huh. All right. I'm trying to get. Do they have pictures of what, Gene? I need an actionable question for Bill to answer. Pictures of what?
Of horses being at fault.
Oh, okay. What do you say, Bill?
Oh, the horses go down in the sediment because that's where the water is, and they were supposed to be fenced out. And this is legal open range.
Yeah, but how does that how does that cause problems with the dam removal? That's what I'm trying, because this is the blame. They're actually blaming horses for trouble here.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's just one more thing that they put out there, more false and misinformation. They're experts at misinformation and spin jobs. I mean, you know, you look at, for instance, recently we had a crew up here that was, they're starting to build the fence finally, by the way, but they're driving through at 3 p.m. on a red flag day. They're driving through heavy buck brush and grass with a big piece of heavy equipment. Now, anybody who's logged, and I logged, at this time of the year, they shut you down at 10 a.m. Boom, you can't do anything else after 10 a.m. Here they are, 3 p.m. up here, driving through crackling dry buck brush and understory grass on a hill 75 feet high. No spray bottle, no shovel. They had a two-wheel drive truck with a water jug on the back of it and a 50-foot hose. They're 400 feet from where they're working. They can't reach a fire if the one started, and I shut them down. Well, basically what happened is that got reported. And Mark Ransom was saying in the Chronicle article that, and in an email to me yesterday, that, oh, we observe all the fire regulations. Well, interestingly, one of the people from McMillan saw what happened, and I have indisputable testimony that person got a hold of me and said, Bill, we shut them down. This is an RES fencing crew. We shut them down. This is a quote. Shut them down. We made them get fire training and go get the fire equipment they need to have.
So, you, in other words, you busted them is what happened.
They've been busted. Yeah, every time they turn around and do something, it's done wrong. It's done careless. It's done reckless. And now they're going to pollute the air mass here. I mean, we have an elderly, our population here is mostly elderly people, and they're more susceptible to this kind of air.
Yeah, I know. And then you combine it with wildfire smoke right now. But that's another conversation. Hey, Bill, before we're out of time, let me grab one more call here. Just came in for you. Hi, good morning. You're with Captain Bill. And who's this?
Yeah, it's Joel.
Yeah, Joel.
Yeah. Well, I saved one of your horses today. He was stuck in a fence, and I managed to get him free.
Oh, thank you.
Well, that's good to know.
Thank you. These horses are the community asset. They help stop that big fire by reducing the fuel. They've been here for hundreds of years. They've been seen by Sir Francis Drake. You know, they're a cultural heritage herd. And, you know, Branson sent me an email yesterday that said that they're above the law, basically. When you read this email, I sent it to you, Bill.
Well, no, I would agree with you, though, that the way this system has been conducted, if any of us had done most of what KRRC has done under the guise of restoring the fish, right, you know, that kind of thing, we'd be in jail. But it astounds me how this has been glad-handed, essentially, through state power and federal power.
It's shocking that they complain about the horses being on the open range when they know damn well what the law is. The law is the horses can go down there. They knew that before they began this project. They knew they had to put up the fence.
And if they had put up the fence, they wouldn't be complaining about them going down there. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And the deer, the elk, and all the other thing wouldn't be down there eating the plants either. Okay.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm out of time now, but I'm glad you took the half hour so we could kick this around, all right? But I'm going to post this article, San Francisco Chronicle article, Scapegoating Cultural Heritage Horses for Failures by the Klamath River Restoration Project. And it's from, of course, Captain Bill Wild Horse Ranch Productions. That's his company there. But we'll put this up. And is this available on Siskiyou.news, too, or should I – how should I handle this? I want to make sure people can read it.
Well, I gave it to Jay Martin over there. I don't know if he's going to put it up or not. He does have it. It's not up yet. You know, you're certainly welcome
to
public information.
I will put it up for sure on KMED.com on my show blog. All righty? All right.
Great. All righty.
All right, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
Go out there and, oh, gosh, those troublesome horses causing trouble for the for the big people involved in dam removal. Darn those horses. I'm just kidding. But
any excuse, I mean, you know, these people are ridiculous. And we need to make sure that, okay, we're trying to stay alive here. Our very health, safety, and welfare is at stake right now.
All right. Thank you, Bill. I'm just out of time now, but we'll have you back. Okay. Take care, Bill.
All right. Okay.
Good.
Thanks.
Bye. Yeah. Thank you. It's a good talk. 8:51.
Looking for reliable roofing experts? Turn to the family.
.gov/preparenow to learn how. This message brought to you by the Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Hi, I'm Riley with Rotary Drilling Company, and I'm on KMED.
8:54. Matt on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. What is on your mind, Matt?
Mine's a conspiracy theory question, Bill. So Israel has been knocking off all of these terrorist leaders. And my question is, they obviously would like to get rid of these guys, but I'm beginning to think that what they really want is they want a direct attack from Iran so they can go after Iran's nukes.
Yes. Are you asking me if I agree with you on that?
I'm asking if you have thought about this and you think that's a possibility.
Yes, and I would dare say that you have to remember that we're pretty much going to get behind Israel if there's a direct attack. You understand that, right? That's just the way it is. It's a it's a bipartisan thing that supposedly is our job, and I can't help but think that this is a kind of hope to make it bigger war, wider war. United States has no choice but to go there Is that kind of where you, because that's what I'm thinking, you know, about this.
Here's the thing. Starting at, well, look, we've been hearing about this for years, but about a month ago, I heard somebody, it was the first article I read on it, was that Iran was 2 weeks away from getting a nuke. Mm-hmm. I do listen to Mark Levin. I love his constitutional study. And he had commented that he expects either right before the election or just after the election that Iran will announce that they have nuclear weapons. Now,
and this could be the October surprise, maybe in September. Who knows, right?
Right. Well, he said it, but I was already thinking it. I'm thinking, look, when did we find out that North Korea had nuclear weapons? We found out after they had them, mm-hmm. right? They don't tell you ahead of time that they're going to have them. You know they're working on them. Our own news sources are saying that they will have them. I made this comment probably 2 or 3 years ago on your show. The fact is we've never stopped any country from getting nukes that wanted them. India got them. Then Pakistan got them. Okay, North Korea got them.
But you know what? But you know the main issue, what the main issue of why we don't like other nations having nukes, that means that they really can't come under the boot heel of the empire, right?
I think that's the reason Obama wanted to support a nuclear program that gave Iran a path.
Right.
They figured that if they have nukes, then, I mean, look, Saudi Arabia is going to get them. They're going to be next. I don't think you see some of the smaller Arab states in that area will also get them. But I think Saudi Arabia will say, look, if Iran has them, we have to have them, because now Iran is running Iraq.
Yeah.
Killing Saddam Hussein was one of the worst ideas ever. That was a terrible idea because he kept Iran in check. So, but I am thinking that Israel is going to keep pricking Iran until Iran attacks directly. And I just read an article this morning saying that some of the Arab states in the area are saying, Iran, you cannot fly. You do not have permission to go through our airspace.
Well, and I think you have to look at financier Martin Armstrong, who says, you know, his Socrates software. Have you ever checked that out by chance?
I haven't.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
Interesting guy over on Armstrong Economics is that the war meter is pegging right about now. It's where the software prediction, the AI prediction is going here. And so this would just play perfectly into what you are discussing there. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I'm wondering. Maybe some of your other listeners will comment next week about it.
Yeah, I think, it may be already happening next week. Who knows? There'll be more news.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Thanks
all
so
right,
much,
Bill.
Matt. All right. We'll do some more emails of the day tomorrow. I don't really have time to go through that much right now, because what I want to make sure you know, though, is tonight, 5 o'clock, it is the Joint Committee on Transportation hearing at Oregon Department of Transportation Funding Review. You know they're going to be pushing for chipping your car to make up all the money that ODOT is losing from electric cars. Rather than doing something with electric cars, they want to do something to you to make it much more easy to charge you more when you drive your vehicle into a city. And I know that the cities would like this, too, because they'd get a cut of that. Boy, the city of Medford could charge you for coming into Medford. Wouldn't they love that? But anyway, 5 to 7 tonight at the Mace Building, Jackson County Expo on Penninger Road, Central Point. You just head there. If you want to testify, I hope you do, get there 30 minutes before it starts. We'll talk with Senator Dennis Linthicum tomorrow at 8:10 on how that's looking and getting some more analysis on it.